It's so good to be here this morning. I feel like a new Penny this morning. I've seen many of you and feel better, so thanks for your prayers. And we'll get going here with a very, very special guest, Governor Scott Walker. We're so honored to have you this morning. First little program we want to call up now, State Rep Mark Willis, who will give us the invocation. State Rep.
Father, we thank you for the blessings you give us. We thank you for the way you come to us and answer prayers that we have not even uttered to you, but you come and always are there for us, and we thank you so much for the gift of prayer. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessings you've given us. We thank you for our country, and today we specifically pray for this convention, and we pray for your will to be done in the lives of our leadership. We pray for your guidance and the security that we all feel here. We thank you for the way that this convention has come together and the harmony that we have seen. And we pray that we will continue to bless it in such a fashion. Thank you for this meal that we have received. And we ask you to bless it to the nourishment of our body and to your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mark. I now call up Captain Jerry Robner, U.S. Navy retired, for our flag. Jerry.
Please join me.
The flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You can be seated. As I said, this morning is a great honor for us to have someone who, again, for South Carolina, needs no introduction. He is a rising star in the Republican Party nationally, a good friend to many of you and me personally. I often tell a story about my taste in shoes. I happen to like nice dress shoes, and a few months back I wore out my previous dress shoes, and Governor Walker and I, maybe about a year ago, thereabouts, had a discussion about American-made dress shoes, which are hard to find. They're made in Wisconsin, therefore I texted them, and I am now the proud owner of a pair of American-made dress shoes, so that fashion advice. But in all seriousness, Governor Walker has done a fantastic job in the state of Wisconsin. He is, of course, a person who, again, needs an introduction from us here in South Carolina. A bit about his bio, Governor Walker was a state legislator in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee County executive, attended Marquette, worked at IBM, grew up in, I believe, Delavan is the proper pronunciation. I keep working on that. My Wisconsinese is getting better, in Delavan, Wisconsin. My wife, Tanette, who is wonderful, you guys have met Tanette. He has two great sons, one of whom is working for Governor Pat McCrory in North Carolina on his re-election campaign, which is very, so he is helping the team all around the country. So with no further ado, Governor Scott Walker.
Well, good morning. Matt did all that without notes. That's pretty good. I'm impressed. It is great. He's got his Allen Edmonds on. I do as well. I got a special version that have a little bit of cushion in, so it's like my running shoes this morning, and it's great to be with you. Although, for a lot of you, I usually saw you last year when I was in South Carolina at a Harley dealership, so I was wearing boots, not wearing Allen Edmonds, which is another good American-made product from Wisconsin. It's not only Allen Edmonds shoes, but Harley-Davidson motorcycles are made just down the way from where both my kids were born. So either way, we love the connection to freedom and the American way. It is great to be here this morning and to see so many friends. People ask, you know, why are you doing all these breakfasts in addition to being asked to tour around by the party? For Tanette and I, and Tanette's at a different breakfast this morning, part of it is honestly, last year one of the best things we loved about the campaign were the people. It's just nice to see so many folks, so many friendly faces that I got to meet in so many different parts of South Carolina last year, and I wanted to come by and first off say hi. It's great to see you all. Secondly, to give you a little bit of an update, although Matt did a pretty good job, Tanette is obviously here with me. My youngest son, Alex, who's not the one working for Pat, is here with us as well. He's at a different breakfast as well, but he is now a senior at the University of Wisconsin, and he is the statewide college Republican chair, and he just got himself elected He got this from his brother, not from me. I thought he'd be an engineer, so I was trying to make him be one of the people, at least in our family, to make some money somewhere down the line instead of going into politics. But he got persuaded and drawn in by his brother, Matthew. But he is not only the statewide college Republican chair in Wisconsin, he just got elected as one of the four national vice chairs of the College Republican National Committee. Covers the whole middle part of the country, and he's having a blast and having a big conference, and we enjoy that. And my wife actually will be in just north of you in Raleigh on Saturday, because I'm coming down to campaign for Pat. Pat's our number one target to protect in the country. You've probably seen, bleeding over some of the media, that what they're trying to do to Pat and how they targeted him and going after him. It's kind of funny. Matt is the digital director for the campaign. He just turned 22 on June 30th, and people say, how is he so calm? I said, did you not watch what happened over the last 5 years? He's a kid who's gone through 100,000 protesters, including some in front of our real home, not just the governor's residence, where he and Alex and Matt were both in high school at the time. He's gone through a reelect and a recall and a presidential campaign. You know, he's kind of like a dog ears. He's about 55 years old when you look at all the experience he's had. But we appreciate loaning him, although my wife is still worried that whether it's north or south, she's worried he's going to meet a nice Carolina girl and never come back to Wisconsin. So we're a little worried about that. The chicken, the ribs, we've been in that boat too, huh? And some of the honey over those biscuits. I said, I'm a little worried about all that. But either way, we'll make our way south. But it is great to be with you all. I want to thank Matt for his leadership, and Cindy and Glenn, great members of the RNC. We appreciate that. And to all the state party leaders here, to all your elected officials, certainly from Governor Nikki Haley, who I heard is going to be tomorrow, right? She's going to be at, Nikki and I work together on the Republican Governors Association quite a bit. We're the class of 2010. I'm one of the few in the class of 2010 that's not term limited, so I theoretically can run again in 2 years and be back at it. God bless you. But we appreciate all the good work that Nikki and the state Senate, the state legislature have done overall, because you have been a shining example on whether it's on tax cuts, improving the economic climate, helping people transition. As I recall, I think there's something like over 30,000 people who were previously on welfare have moved over the last 2 years into from government dependence to true independence, things that we've tried to work on in our state. We appreciate the leadership, not only of Governor Nikki Haley and your Lieutenant Governor, who I just saw yesterday, but your state legislative leaders and members as well. And to your members of Congress, from your U.S. senators to your members of the House. Now, Joe, you appreciate this. When I think about hard work and determination, I think about my first jobs were washing dishes at the Countryside Restaurant. And then I moved up to the big time. I started flipping hamburgers at McDonald's in high school. And there was a kid, thank you, there was a kid down the way from me. I was in, a small little comp town that Matt talked about, Delavan, flipping hamburgers there, and there was another guy, a friend of mine, flipping burgers down the way in a slightly bigger community, although it wasn't real big, called Janesville, by the name of Paul Ryan. And on the other side of us actually was Reince Priebus, who grew up about 20 miles down the road. And the other way, people asked what was in the water. I said, it was Wisconsin, it was beer. That's what was in the water in our state. Actually, I think it was Reagan more than anything, because we all came of age under Ronald Reagan. But Joe, you'll appreciate this. So Paul Ryan worked at McDonald's same time I did. His manager told him he had to flip hamburgers in the back because he didn't have the interpersonal skills to work the front cash register. When he was sitting behind the president this year at the State of the Union address, I was thinking, what is that manager thinking right now? Probably the same thing that high school basketball coach that didn't let Michael Jordan play varsity was thinking after he went to the pros and did all that years past. But I think about all that, and for me, you know, growing up in that small town, working hard, I tried to pass it on to our sons. Tanette and I both did, where we expect our sons to start working early. One worked at a pizza place, the other worked at a custard stand, which is kind of like ice cream for us in the north. And people often ask, why do you make your sons work? They're in sports and scouts and all these extracurriculars. You don't need the money. I said, well, it doesn't hurt that they... they've got to work for that. I said, it's not just for the money. For us, it was for them to understand the importance of work. You know, there's a dignity that comes from work. And one of the things I get so frustrated from the other side, whether it's this president or those that we have to deal with in our state houses across America, is that somehow they think we're doing people good by not expecting more from them. One of the things I'm proud of, and I know we've done it in many Republican-led states across the country, is we expect now people in our state, if they want government assistance, if they're able-bodied adults, meaning if they're able to work, physically and mentally capable of working, particularly for those that don't have children in their household, we expect that they're enrolled in job training, that they're looking for work 5 days a week. Actually, I think that's a pretty good deal. Some people said that's a little outrageous. I said, if I was out of work a few years ago when I faced the recall election in 2012, I had to think about that a little bit. But I would have thought about my parents' advice, and I would have been looking for work 6 days of work. The only day I would have took off was Sunday, and I would have gone to church on Sunday to pray to God I could find a job on Monday, right? And so that's what I think part of what we miss in this country is that work ethic. We expect people who want assistance to be enrolled in job training, looking for work for all 5 days of the work week, and being able to pass a drug test, because we know increasingly in states led by Republicans, there are more than enough jobs. We just need to start demanding that people get back to work if they're able. And that's part of one of the things I want to reinforce to folks. You know it in South Carolina. Sometimes others don't get it across the country. So we need to spread this message. We're obviously focusing this week on nominating a candidate for president and for vice president. And I'm going to speak tomorrow and I'm going to talk about that. But I want to touch on a larger context here this morning, get you a bit of optimism that you can take from South Carolina, you can take from Wisconsin, you can take from other states that are led by Republican leaders in our state houses, that the conservative movement is alive and well in America, in our states. We just need to start modeling it in our nation's capital. I mean, think about the changes. One of the nice things I can say about Barack Obama, even at a Republican National Convention, is over the last 7.5 years, he's been one of the most incredible recruiters of conservative candidates. Right? Think about 2009, when he first took office, there were 28 Democrat governors. Today, there's 18. Over the last 7.5 years, there have been just shy of 1,000 Republican lawmakers elected in states across this country. We now have 31 Republican governors, including just over a little bit from you all in Kentucky. Matt Bevin was elected a year ago, actually last November, one of only three Republicans elected in the Commonwealth of Kentucky since World War II. And by the end of this year, after the elections, we could have as many as 35 Republican governors in states across the country. That would be an all-time high. Why? Because common sense conservative reforms actually work. And the great thing is, you know it in South Carolina because you reelected Nikki Haley. We saw it in Wisconsin. I didn't just get reelected, I got elected three times in that 4-year time. But in states across this country, even blue states like mine, we've shown that common sense conservative reforms can work. Not only cutting taxes, in our state we cut property and income taxes every year we've been in office. We've reined in frivolous and out of control lawsuits. We've pulled back out of control regulations. We balanced our budget. We have the largest rainy day fund we've ever had. All those fiscal things are great, but all those reforms, you remember the protesters? 100,000 strong that were in and around our Capitol. Many of them said that what we were doing would devastate public education. I'm proud to tell you that my graduating class in Wisconsin last year still had the second highest ACT scores in the country, and our graduating class was the third highest graduating class in America. Why? Because we actually let the school board members we elect run our schools now, not the big government union bosses. And it's made an incredible difference. And we've done other things as well. We fundamentally took the power away from the big government special interest and put it in the hands of the hardworking taxpayers. But we did other things. We took the money away from Planned Parenthood, for example, and gave it to non-controversial organizations that actually provide health for women in this country. And we did it in Wisconsin, a blue state. We passed concealed carry and castle doctrine so that law-abiding citizens can protect themselves, their families, and their property. And I'm proud to say that Wisconsin, that once was one of the most liberal states in the country, now has a law that makes it easy to vote but hard to cheat. We require a photo ID to vote in the state of Wisconsin. Now, if we can do all of that in a blue state like mine, there's no reason why we can't do that for the rest of the country, particularly in our nation's capital. It wasn't too late for us in Wisconsin. It's not too late for America. And so I'm thrilled to be by here today to tell you about the exciting things that are happening in states across this country. You know it because you got a great team in South Carolina. But we got to spread that message elsewhere. And we know that our founders, you know, I always, as a reminder, love to carry a copy of the Constitution. It's a little bit beat up, but a couple weeks ago, on the 4th of July, we celebrated the 240th anniversary of this great country. You think back, our founders felt so strongly about the idea that power should not be concentrated in our federal government, should not be focused in Washington, that they didn't just include it in the Constitution, they added it and put an explanation point on it by putting it in the Bill of Rights in the 10th Amendment. And so I'm excited about the opportunity to think about the fact that we've got a house that's been playing goalie up until now. They've been playing defense against the overreach of this president. And we just got a Senate out there, but they're still up against an executive branch that has gone overboard in trying to overstep its bounds in terms of executive privilege. But when we have a Republican president and a Republican Senate and a Republican House, I hope and I believe that they will take a page out of what Republican leaders are doing in the states, where you get a chief executive and a legislative branch working together to push forward common sense conservative reforms. And I hope at the top of that list is taking power out of Washington and sending it back not only to state and local governments, but more importantly, as it says in the Bill of Rights, to the people. That's really what our founders intended. I love Ronald Reagan. I often invoke him because he's one of my favorite presidents. We're the party often invoked and talked about, the party that started first under Lincoln. But I think oftentimes we forget just how important George Washington was. George Washington laid out the principle. He could have been king. He was so revered by those who saw him as General Washington. He could have been king. He could have been president for life. But instead, he had the foresight to say that no man or woman should ever have that kind of power. But for us to survive as a republic, we needed to have power in the hands of the governed, not of those who do the governing. That's what this country is all about. That's what this party stands for, and I believe that's what the majority of Americans still believe in. We just got to be proud to tell that story. We got a great story to tell. I tell that my sons all the time are inviting me to go speak with young people. I've been on college campuses and talking to young professionals, and I think sometimes the media loses sight of the difference between Republican and Democrat. To me, it's real simple. I tell it on campuses all the time. The difference is Democrats believe that government knows best. They believe in a top-down approach to the economy and society that tells you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. The higher up the chain, that's why they love power in Washington, the better off. To most young people, that doesn't sound very appetizing. You see, they're suspect of big anything, big government, big labor, big business. All the things that they grew up being told were important have been largely shattered over the last decade or so. So they're suspect of that. We have an opportunity to point out that Republicans, we believe in just the opposite. We believe that you build society and the economy from the ground up in a way that's new and fresh, organic and dynamic. It says that as long as you don't get in the way of hurting the health and safety of your neighbor, we as Republicans say, go out and do your own thing. Live your own life. Start your own business. Build your career. We're the ones that are offering the next generation the opportunity to live the American dream. You see, true freedom and personal success do not come from the clumsy hand of the government. They come from the dignity of hard work that I talked about, that dignity that I learned washing dishes and flipping hamburgers. And many of the rest of you learned, whether it was on the farm or a factory or somewhere in a job like I had early on, we learned that dignity early, not just from our jobs, but from our parents and our grandparents, and they from generations before. It is our responsibility, not just as Republicans, but as Americans, to pass on that kind of ethic, to pass on that kind of determination, to pass on that kind of support and understanding for a great society such as the one that we live in. We can do it. We can do it. There's just no doubt in my mind, and the choice could not be clearer. Sometimes people in the media joke to me about, well, you know, are you here? You're going to speak. You must be supporting Donald Trump. And I joke about it. I say, he wasn't my first choice. I was my first choice. A little fun with that, right? And he wasn't even my choice in my state. I helped somebody else win Wisconsin's primary. But you know, I stood on a stage just down the way from where we're going to be at the convention later today, and I said on August 6th of 2015 that I believe that any of the candidates on that stage were better than Hillary Clinton. I said it then, and I meant it, and I mean it today. And if you had any doubt, think about the last few weeks when we've heard about decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court. Anthony Scalia was nominated by President Ronald Reagan to be on the Supreme Court when I was in high school. When I was in high school, what I'd give to have the hair or half the hair that I had when I was in high school back in the 80s. But when I think about that, it puts in perspective, this is not something we can just wait out for the next 4 years. The consequences are too great. We're talking about a generation or more into the future with not just one, potentially two or three more Supreme Court appointments. And on top of that, when I listened 2 weeks ago to the FBI director talk about Hillary Clinton's server, heck, it was clear to me, I wouldn't even give her the password to my iPhone, let alone access to classified information. I mean, for goodness sakes, if Hillary Clinton was still the Secretary of State, the President of the United States would be obligated to fire her because she couldn't have access to classified information, and yet he had the audacity to go down and campaign with her in the very next day. That's what's wrong with America. There's two sets of rules. It's time to tell the country that Clintons have to abide by the same rules as everyone else in America. And so to me, the choice is clear. You know, the choice is clear. You know, some people, I say, well, there's a fault here, a fault there. I said, I don't want to get too preachy. My dad was a Baptist minister, so I won't get into the pulpit here, but I'll tell you, the Bible's full of leaders who are less than perfect. In fact, the last time I saw someone or heard about someone perfect is about 2,000 years ago. And so no matter who your pick was throughout the primary, the clearest thing to all of us here and to those that we speak to across this country, not just Republicans, but independents and even some discerning Democrats, has got to be, is there is a clear choice. You deserve better. America deserves better than Hillary Clinton. We have an opportunity to make that case. We have an opportunity not just to elect Donald Trump, but I got to tell you, on a personal level, I know Mike Pence. He's one of my closest friends of all the governors. You couldn't find a finer man to put on that ticket. And to me, when Mike Pence's announcement was made, Joe, you know him from serving in the Congress, he is a good, decent, solid, strong man who's built on faith, a tremendous opportunity for him and Karen to have an influence, not just as vice president, but an influence on this administration. I think we got a tremendous opportunity going forward. So I'm going to speak tomorrow night up at the podium. There's a whole group of us, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and I, are going to speak, I think, just before one of the Trump family members. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. We're going to talk about why America deserves better than we've got from this president, better than we get out of Hillary Clinton. I'm optimistic that we can do better. We deserve better, and we will get better. We just have to look to the states where Republicans are leading the way, like South Carolina, like Wisconsin, like Ohio, and others, where Republican leadership has made a tremendous, tremendous difference. Thank you all for being in the trenches to make it possible. You wouldn't be here unless you weren't active in the party. We appreciate that. I personally appreciate that. So what does that have to do with me in Wisconsin? Well, on behalf of my sons, Matt and Alex, and their generation, and those yet to be born, I know that as our founders intended, the best way to get this country turned around is state by state. You're making it happen in South Carolina. We're trying to do it in my home state of Wisconsin. For all that you're doing, for all that you can continue to do, to not just elect a new president, but to elect Republicans with common sense, conservative values, and then hold them accountable to do what they said they're going to do throughout the campaign. God bless you. Thank you so much for letting me come by.
Governor, great job.